Chapter 11.
Guys, I trailed off as I stared down at Janine's professor, who was bound and gagged in the back of Tony's Hummer. Do you mind telling me why you have Dr. Hansen tied up and why it looks like you kicked the shit out of him?
It looks like we kicked the shit out of him because we did kick the shit out of him,
Paul snorted.
He showed up at Cincy's Duel about an hour ago looking for you. When we told him you weren't there, though, he started prodding us on where you might be found. I knew you had a lot of enemies out there, so I refused to tell him anything.
Then he started getting a little mouthy. Started saying how we were harboring a murderer and how he was going to unleash his wrath on us if we didn't turn you over. So I punched him in the face. Got his glasses real good.
You're a little too cheerful about this.
I hate people who talk shit and can't back it up. The old man shrugged. Especially when they think I'm an old geezer who can't still fuck him up like I used to.
Fuck! Is he all right?
Paul's just talking a big game. We were able to subdue him without too much of a scuffle, which is why he only has a few scratches and bruises on his face.
You took him without too much of a scuffle? I asked in a skeptical tone. He was a pretty formidable opponent when he confronted me.
That was his own fault,
Paul said with a half-smirk.
He probably would have been pretty formidable if we'd been goblins or werewolves or shit like that. He kept trying to figure out what we were.
Tony chuckled and shook his head. This old guy tried to catch us in some sort of magic trap. Then he threw some weird powder on us, and then he said some weird words in a different language that didn't do jack shit. He thought we were everything other than just two regular humans.
So while he was distracted trying to ensnare us in one of his spells, I knocked him to the ground and zip-tied his hands and feet like a hog. It was pretty simple, actually.
Ironic.
Seriously?
Janine added.
He's so used to fighting monsters that it looks like he didn't even entertain the thought he could have just, you know, talked to you like human beings.
Now comes the question of the hour,
Paul said, and then he pulled his Desert Eagle from its holster and checked the chamber.
This guy's an obvious security threat, so what do you want done with him?
Dr. Hansen let out a surprised gasp when he saw the gun, and then he began to frantically flail around in the back of the vehicle as he tried to break his zip ties.
It's no use.
Tony rolled his eyes. Those are military grade. It'd probably even take the boss man here a bit of elbow grease to work his way out of those.
Put the gun away, Paul,
I gasped as I gestured to the old man. Fuck, we're not going to kill him.
Why not? Isn't he with those Order of the Lunar God people?
Hansen mumbled some more as he shook his head furiously.
He's my professor,
Janine interjected.
He's just confused and thinks he's on one of his paranormal crusades, that's all.
So he's got dementia.
Tony gulped and then looked over at Paul.
Jesus, man, we just beat up a dude with dementia.
Eh, Paul shrugged. He had it coming.
He doesn't have dementia.
Janine rolled her brown eyes.
He thinks Carter killed that jogger up in the forest the other day, and now he's trying to stop Carter before he kills again. It's all a big misunderstanding.
Could have fooled me,
Paul said with a scowl.
He seemed pretty damn intent on killing us back at the Jewel.
Hansen tried to say something once more, but all we could hear was more muffled nonsense. Ada walked over to the hostage, held up the sharp claw on her index finger, and then pressed it against the tape on Hansen's mouth.
If you scream, this goes across your throat. Got it?
Hansen's eyes narrowed with defiance, but he gave the succubus a slow nod to show he understood. With that, Ada dragged her claw gently across the duct tape, and it snapped free of the professor's mouth.
I wasn't trying to kill you. I simply wanted to subdue you. I had to make it look lethal, though, or else you'd have a significant advantage over me.
Would have. It definitely seemed like we had one anyway.
Please,
the balding man grumbled.
I didn't even pull out my best spells on you two.
Well, tell me about it.
Tony grunted. I was hoping for a bit more of a challenge, you know.
Come on, you two. We don't need an old-timer dick-measuring contest here. Help Dr. Hansen up, Ada.
But keep an eye on him. He's likely to run away the second his feet hit the ground.
He won't get very far. I could catch this guy with one wing tied to my body.
So you are a succubus,
Hansen said as he looked Ada up and down.
And my colleagues all told me I was crazy for suggesting it.
That's the name of my species, love.
The succubus winked.
Don't wear it out.
I'm sorry this happened to you, Dr. Hansen.
Janine frowned.
I'm not.
Paul snickered under his breath. This is all just one big misunderstanding, Professor, I said as I took a step toward the bound Hansen. I'm not your enemy here. If you give me a chance, we can sit down and talk all this out.
I don't really have a choice now, do I?
If I wanted you dead, you'd be dead, I reminded the paranormal archaeologist. I'd have Paul put a bullet in your head, or I'd have Ada slit your throat, or maybe I'd even have Naomi here crush every bone in your body with her magic. Or I would just tear you in half and call it a day. That's what I've done to many of my enemies before, Doctor, but you're not my enemy.
So you are a killer. Hansen nodded. And you're building up an army to wipe out humanity in the name of Bast.
No! Where the fuck are you even getting an idea like that?
Carter's not a killer,
Naomi argued.
I mean, sure, he's killed people before, like a lot of people, but that was only because they were trying to kill him and others first.
That's what I was trying to tell you earlier, Dr. Hansen. Carter is a protector, not a murderer. He's saved each and every one of us you see before you many, many times.
In fact, he literally just saved a poor, confused were-turtle.
A were-turtle?
Hansen's eyes widened as his mouth fell agape.
A follower of Bast helped a servant of Keck?
Yeah, I said with a shake of my head. You gotta understand, Dr. Hansen, I don't really follow all that ancient occult traditional bullshit. One of my friends was turned into a were-turtle, so I helped her out. I'm not some sort of bloodthirsty killer like you seem to think I am.
But you're a were-panther. It's in your nature to kill indiscriminately.
Sorry, Dr. Hansen.
Janine scoffed.
But that theory is a crock of bullshit. Haven't you read the drafts of my thesis paper yet?
Of course I have.
Hansen sounded offended.
I read it the very first night you turned it in, and I thought it was very well written. However, once I realized Carter's little secret, I figured your arguments were not quite as neutral and as objective as I'd hoped.
All the research from the first draft happened before I met Carter.
Janine scowled and crossed her arms over her chest.
And it was pretty damn good research, if I do say so myself.
Well, yes.
Hansen said, but then Janine interrupted him again.
And in that paper, I clearly lay out an argument as to why werepanthers fulfill the role of protectors on Earth, right? How they are the strongest of the paranormal creatures, and the sole reason they exist is because Bast wanted to save humans from the rampant horrors the other gods released on them, right?
Yes.
Hansen sighed and hung his head.
Your research was rock solid, and your argument was airtight.
Then why do you still doubt it?
Janine asked, and now she sounded more hurt than angry.
Do you really think I would have pursued Carter if I thought he was some bloodthirsty killer hell-bent on taking over the world?
No, I suppose not.
The professor said as he pursed his lips.
I know you're much more intelligent than that, Janine.
Then why didn't you listen to me the first time?
Honestly?
Hansen frowned as he looked up at the redhead.
It's because I wanted to relive my glory days. I spent many of my early years as an academic pursuing werepanthers, but they were always murdered by followers of Khonsu before I could actually locate them. When I realized Carter was right here in front of me, I don't know. Maybe it was just the adrenaline rush of finally finding my white whale, or perhaps I truly was afraid he was the killer of that man in the forest. I acted before I thought, which is something I try to teach all of my students not to do.
I didn't kill that person in the forest, I reiterated. But I know who did.
Oh?
Hansen asked as he looked over at me.
And I suppose you are trying to bring them to justice.
I am. We've run into a few roadblocks, though, and we could use the expertise of somebody like you.
Like me? Why would you need me when you have the brightest young mind in paranormal archaeology on your side already?
You're going to make me blush, Dr. Hansen.
Janine said with a roll of her eyes. Janine is fucking brilliant, but she doesn't have the years of globe-trotting experience and wisdom you do. We need your help, Dr. Hansen, please. The balding man furrowed his brow, and his eyes darted back and forth as he mulled over my words. Finally, he let out a long sigh and shook his head, and then his beady eyes met my own.
I want to believe you, Mr. Hatfield. I truly do. However, I cannot help but wonder if you are simply crafting an elaborate story to try and cover for your own mistake. That said, I don't really have much of a say in the matter, so I will help you.
Still don't trust me, huh? I grumbled, but then I got an idea. Ada, cut him free.
What? Why would I do that?
Yeah, boss, Tony warned. We saw all the crazy shit he can do when his hands aren't bound behind his back, and I really don't want to have to deal with that shit again. Just cut him free. I repeated. I knew there was a slight chance Hansen would use this opportunity to attack and then flee, but I had to take the risk. I was hoping the gesture of setting Hansen free would further hammer home the idea that I wasn't a threat, but it was impossible to know for sure. Still, even if he tried to escape, I knew my friends and I could easily capture him again. My jaw clenched as I watched Ada bend over and place a claw against the zip tie wrapped around Hansen's feet, and she snapped it in two with a quick motion of her arm before she moved on to his hands. There was a plastic snap as Ada cut him free, and then Hansen jumped to his feet. The professor looked around at all of us with wide eyes, and for a second I thought he was going to run. However, his heart rate suddenly started to slow, and I could hear his breathing even out as well.
See? Carter's not the bad guy here.
Perhaps. The professor said with a slow nod. I suppose the fact I am still alive and free of my bondage is evidence enough.
What's that about bondage?
Jesus Christ.
Paul grumbled as he buried his face in his hands and rubbed his forehead. You're free to go, Dr. Hansen, but I hope you'll stick around and help us.
You said you want to relive your glory days. With us, you can. You'll be surrounded by paranormal creatures all the time, and we always seem to attract the attention of new and unusual beasts, some of which I'd never even heard of before.
The professor seemed to mull this over for a moment, and I held my breath as we all awaited his response.
I'll help however I can. Hansen finally nodded. But don't expect me to become your new travel companion, Mr. Hatfield. Hanging around with a werepanther is simply tempting death, and at my age and weight, I'm already doing that enough.
Fair enough. Do you know of a were-turtle named Newt?
He attacked Carter at his lounge.
Naomi interjected.
And apparently he was somehow able to break through my protective hex.
Of course he did. Were-turtles are immune to all forms of magic. In fact, their flesh is pretty much impervious to any form of attack, save from another were-turtle.
I knew it.
Janine whispered under her breath and did a little fist pump.
This is why they are the main servants of Keck.
Hansen continued.
Just as Mr. Hatfield here is one of the main servants of Bast. In fact, every single god and goddess within the occult circles has their own were-creature, each with their own special abilities that make them nearly unstoppable.
Fuck. I didn't know exactly how many gods were worshipped in the occult world, but this meant there were lots of other were-animals out there, which meant there were many other giant, deadly creatures that were probably going to try and kill me sooner or later. So, Bast has were-panthers and Keck has were-turtles. I pondered aloud. What about Khonzu? He hasn't sent any were-monsters after me yet.
Khonzu most certainly has were-creatures. In fact, the ones who save him are the ones most well-known to the general public.
Werewolves? I asked, and the professor responded with a nod. I suppose that made sense. Khonzu was the lunar god after all, and werewolves and the moon pretty much went hand in hand.
As far as why you haven't encountered any yet, that is a mystery.
Not really. Khonzu is notoriously overconfident. I think he actually believes he can kill us with nothing but his cultists and a few of his random lesser creatures.
When Khonzu sends the werewolves after us,
Janine added,
we will know he's on his last legs and backed into a corner.
As much as I appreciate all this information, let's get back to the were-turtle problem. Do you have any information on Newt at all and where he might be located?
Or how we can kill him.
Naomi added with a glint in her dark eyes.
I'm assuming you think this Newt is the true killer of that jogger in the forest.
Hansen raised a bushy eyebrow. I'm like 90% sure.
And the other 10?
For a split second, I considered lying to the professor, but then I realized it would get me nowhere. If I wanted Hansen to trust me, then I needed to tell him the full truth. There is a slight chance it might be the woman we saved, the one who was turned into a were-turtle by Newt.
Were-turtles don't turn others into were-turtles.
Hansen shook his head as he readjusted his comb-over.
Only a god can create a were-creature.
I felt my blood run cold in my veins.
Shit.
Janine and Naomi had been right. Newt hadn't turned Valerie. It was Keck himself. Which meant he felt threatened enough by me to actually show his face on Earth for the first time in several centuries. I honestly didn't know whether to be worried or flattered.
But the occult gods are never on Earth. Ever.
Ada shook her head and crossed her arms over her chest.
I know that,
Hansen said, and his voice took on a more dire tone.
Mr. Hatfield must really be shaking things up in the paranormal world, then, if he's attracted the attention of a second god. Now you see why I don't want to be a part of your team. You are now dealing with forces and entities that even I don't fully understand.
What else was I supposed to do? Just let the OLG sacrifice me in the forest that day?
It would have been a much simpler and much less painful death.
Hansen said.
If Keck gets his hands on you, it will make anything the OLG could do to you look like child's play. And if Khonzu himself actually gets involved, well, let's just say suicide is probably your best option.
Fuck.
Paul whistled as he nudged Tony in the ribs.
Sounds like we should be asking for a little higher pay, huh?
We deal with the humans,
Tony said and shook his bald head.
We let the boss man and his friends deal with all the crazy paranormal stuff.
I'll never take the coward's way out, I said with a frown.
Then you will suffer, I'm afraid.
Anson sighed as he lowered his eyes and hung his head.
As will all of your friends.
So that's it? Keck is down on Earth and we're all just fucked?
It sounds like this Newt fellow is the key to what you're looking for.
The professor continued.
Surely he would have contact with Keck, and he would know where to find him. Also, if he really is the one who killed that innocent man, then I would gladly watch you deliver justice in its most lethal form.
But who is Newt, Dr. Hansen? I've never encountered a single reference to him in all of my years of study.
That's because his identity is insignificant. It is the what that is important in this situation, Miss Beckett. Keck has surely had thousands of were-turtle servants since the dawn of time, and this is probably his most recent of the bunch. Most likely just a replacement for his deceased predecessor.
Deceased? I raised an eyebrow. You said were-turtles were indestructible.
Nearly indestructible. It is difficult, especially with their thick armor-like skin, but it can be done. A were-turtle is hard to kill, but not impossible to kill. Just like yourself, Mr. Hatfield.
Where the fuck would we even go about finding Newt, then? Is he hanging out in a pond somewhere, chomping on every fish and bird that comes by?
And human, by the sounds of it.
Janine added with a shudder.
Keck would not put his servant in a place so obvious. He is the god of chaos, after all.
I wonder if Leah's mating call would get a response. That seemed to work for Orglan.
Orglan was a Class C paranormal creature. They tend to think more with their primal instincts rather than with their brains. A Class A creature like a were-turtle would be immune to the charm of a... What is Leah?
A polyworm.
Oh, well, a were-turtle would certainly not respond to the mating call of a polyworm. They are not even remotely the same species.
What about a female were-turtle? We have one of those.
I'm gonna say no to that one. I interjected. We're not letting Val turn back into her other form until she learns how to control it better. Unless you want another knockdown, drag-out fight like we just had in the showers.
I do not believe female were-turtles make mating cries anyway. In the were-creature society, it is almost always the males who attempt to attract the mate, not the other way around.
So we're back to square one, then. I sighed as I rubbed the bridge of my nose in frustration. We have no idea where Newt is or how to even find him.
Not necessarily true.
Hansen shook his head.
Though a were-turtle wouldn't just be found floating in a lake, there are certainly signs you could look for that would help narrow down potential hiding spots. For example, it would need to be an area with a good food supply.
I can't really think of anywhere else in the city that has a bunch of fish readily available.
Naomi said as she stroked her chin.
Unless we're talking about, like, the dumpsters at a fish market or something.
In the Ohio, perhaps?
No way, I said with a shake of my head. I have spies all over in the Ohio River, and I know they'd alert me if a giant were-turtle just appeared on my turf.
It doesn't have to be fish, you know. It's a common misconception that snapping turtles only eat other aquatic creatures, but they will devour anything they can get their hands on.
Okay, so they need a good food source, and since they're fucking huge creatures, they'd need a lot of food.
Can't he just sustain himself on human food while he's in his human form? I don't know how any of this Transformer shit works, but that would make the most sense to me. Not with a servant of Keck. Occultists who worship Keck basically renounce their humanity, save for extreme cases.
Which means
this Newt fellow is a were-turtle first and a human second. He may appear as a human when he needs to blend in, but he will default to his were-turtle form at all other times. Which means he'd also only eat the food a were-turtle would eat and do the things a were-turtle would do.
So he'd need to be hiding in a big place, then. I continued with the thought process. And a place that would be out of the view of the general public, since it's really hard not to notice an 8-foot-tall snapping turtle walking around an urban area.
One of the abandoned malls? We have a fuck ton of those here in Cincy.
Too public. I shook my head. And probably not any good food sources.
What about one of the cemeteries around here? That was always the go-to for my sisters and I when we wanted to hide away from prying eyes. And he could totally have a food source with all those dead bodies.
A were-turtle wouldn't be able to stomach decaying meat. They need fresh kills.
Is there anything over by where they found the jogger's body? That would make the most logical sense.
Well, it was right by campus.
Janine reminded me.
And there's a lot of shit over there.
But a place where a were-turtle could hide? Everything is out in the open and very, very public.
Wait.
The redhead said as she tilted her head to the left and pushed her glasses up the bridge of her nose.
Hold on, that's it! The subway!
Subway? Cincinnati doesn't have a subway.
No, they don't.
Janine confirmed.
Because they started to build an underground railway at the turn of the century, but then they never finished. A bunch of it got demolished, but there are a few spots where they just left the tunnels abandoned. It would be the perfect place for a giant turtle to hide, and it would have plenty of food sources.
How so?
Naomi asked as she crossed her arms over her chest.
Right.
Slav.
Ada noted, as an epiphany spread across her face.
Surely lots of rats live in those abandoned tunnels. Also, the occasional grifter or urban explorer who is unlucky enough to wander down there.
There's supposedly a tunnel that's somewhere over by the Western Hills Viaduct? Though its exact location has never really been confirmed.
Damn. That really does sound like the perfect place to hide out. That's like right near campus, too, isn't it?
A 6-minute drive,
Ada said as she tapped on her smartwatch.
And only a 10-minute drive from where Val got turned and where they found the body of that jogger.
See?
Dr. Hansen smiled.
You have no reason to need my help when you have Janine. She truly has eclipsed me when it comes to this sort of thing.
Nonsense,
Janine said to her mentor.
I couldn't have gotten here if it wasn't for you. Plus, you gave us a bunch of good information about how these were creatures actually work.
Exactly. Now, I'm actually fairly confident I can kill one of them, even if it takes all my effort and intelligence to do so.
Well, it sounds like the subway tunnels are the place to start. Now, am I free to go?
You've been free to go this entire time, Dr. Hansen. I nodded and extended my hand to the stout, balding man. Thank you for your help. Hansen looked down at my hand and then cautiously extended his own. His handshake was like a limp fish, and his palms were slick and warm with his nervous sweat, but at least he'd accepted my metaphorical olive branch. When he finally pulled away, the man adjusted the broken glasses on his face and then cleared his throat.
Ahem, this is somewhat embarrassing, but could one of you hail me an Uber? I don't have any way to get back to my office.
We could drive you back, Tony suggested, but Hansen instantly shook his head.
No,
he said, and his voice cracked a little.
No, an Uber will do me just fine.
I'm on it.
Ada chuckled, and then she made a few taps at her phone.
University of Cincinnati. There. It looks like it'll be here in a few minutes, out by the street corner.
I suppose this is where we part ways for now, then,
Hansen said as he began toward the alleyway.
And good luck finding this newt fellow, and please be careful. I know I said a weretoidal can be killed, but don't let that go to your head. If you corner him in his den, then he will be even more aggressive than normal.
We'll keep that in mind, I said with a smile. Have a safe trip back to campus.
And, Mr. Hatfield.
Hansen stopped and then motioned for me to come in close. I walked over to the professor, who then waggled his finger so I would lean toward him.
What's up?
I whispered.
That girl is like a daughter to me,
Hansen warned as his eyes flicked back to Janine over my shoulder.
If anything bad happens to her, I don't know what I'd do with myself. Watch over her, Mr. Hatfield.
I will. I would never, ever let anything bad happen to Janine.
Good.
The professor nodded, and then he turned and began to hustle down toward the end of the alley.
What was that about?
Ada asked when I walked back over to the group. He just reminded me to be careful. I lied and then looked down at my watch. Fuck, it's already mid-afternoon. People are going to be arriving here in a few hours, aren't they?
Not tonight, they won't. Not until the mess in the shower room is all fixed. The last thing I need is to have the water leak onto our guests. Or, even worse, to have the entire ceiling collapse from the sheer weight of it all.
Fair enough. Now let's go let the other two know the plan and see how Val is doing.
If you don't mind, boss, Tony spoke up. Paul and I have had kind of a crazy day, and I know we're going to be needed when the jewel opens for business tonight.
Say no more, I shook my head. You guys are good to go home. Actually, take the rest of the day off.
Oh, I couldn't do that, boss,
my chief of security scoffed.
Shut up, man, Paul hissed as he shot Tony a dirty look. I've got a backlog of The Walking Dead episodes on my TiVo that need to be watched.
We have plenty of other people to cover the lounge tonight, I reassured Tony. Plus, we'll hopefully be off resolving the Newt situation, which means Naomi's spell will help watch over the place.
Oh, I don't even know how to thank you,
Tony said with a smile. Just keep up the good work. That's the only thank you I ever need from you guys.
Later, kid.
Paul shot me a salute, and then he turned around and hobbled back over to the Hummer. Tony thanked me once more before he hopped into the driver's side of the vehicle, turned it on, and began down the alleyway. It was a long, convoluted process, but at least the Dr. Hansen factor had been resolved for the moment. More importantly, we now had a place to look for Newt. However, it was just then that a terrible thought crept into my mind. What if Newt wasn't alone in those tunnels? What if Keck was down there with him, waiting on us to attack so he could take us down once and for all? I was only semi-confident I could survive another fight with a were-turtle, but a literal Egyptian god? That was another story completely. Still, we had no other choice. If we wanted to clear both mine and Val's names, we needed to find Newt. Even if it meant facing certain death to do so.